How many cuts before we get down to an individual atom? The answer is about 90 successive cuts. A typical atom is surrounded by a kind of cloud of electrons. The electrons are electrically charged, as the name suggests, and they determine the chemical properties of the atom. But deep inside the atom, hidden far beneath the outer electron cloud, is the nucleus, composed chiefly of protons and neutrons. Atoms are very small. 100 million of them, end to end, would be about so big. And the nucleus is 100,000 times smaller still. Nevertheless, most of the mass in an atom is in the nucleus. The electrons are, by comparison, just bits of moving fluff. Atoms are mainly empty space. Matter is composed chiefly of nothing. When we consider cutting this apple pie, but down beyond a single atom, we confront an infinity of the very small. And when we look up at the night sky, we confront an infinity of the very large. These infinities are among the most awesome of human ideas. They represent an unending regress, which goes on not just very far, but forever. Have you ever stood between two parallel mirrors, in a barbershop, say, and seen a very large number of you? Or you could use two flat mirrors and a candle flame. You would see a large number of images, each the reflection of another image. You can't really see an infinity of images because the mirrors are not perfectly flat and aligned, and there's a candle or a candle flame at least in the way, and light doesn't travel infinitely fast. When we talk of real infinities, we're talking about a quantity larger than any number. No matter what number you have in mind, infinity is larger. There's a nice way to write large numbers. You can write the number 1,000 as 10 to the power 3, meaning a 1 followed by 3 zeros. Or a million is written as 10 to the power 6, meaning a 1 followed by 6 zeros. There's no largest number. If anybody gives you a candidate largest number, you can always add the number 1 to it. But there certainly are very big numbers. The American mathematician Edward Kasner once asked his young nephew to invent a name for an extremely large number, 10 to the power 100, which I can't write out all the zeros in this page for because there isn't room on the page. The boy called it a Google. If you think a Google is large, consider a Googleplex. It's 10 to the power of a Google. That is a 1 followed not by 100 zeros, but by a Google zeros. Now, by comparison with these enormous numbers, the total number of atoms in that apple pie is only about 10 to the 26th, tiny compared to a Google, and of course much, much less than a Googleplex. The total number of elementary particles, protons, neutrons, and electrons, in the accessible universe is of the order of 10 to the 80th, a 1 followed by 80 zeros, still much, much less than a Google, and vastly less than a Googleplex. And yet, these numbers, the Google and the Googleplex, do not approach, they come nowhere near infinity. In fact, a Googleplex is precisely as far from infinity as is the number 1. There's a much simpler and more concise way to write a Googleplex. like this. And infinity can be represented like this. We pretty much take atoms for granted. And yet, there are so many different kinds, lovely and useful at the same time.
There are some 92 chemically distinct kinds of atoms naturally found on Earth. They're called the chemical elements. Virtually everything we see and know, all the beauty of the natural world, is made of these few kinds of atoms arranged in harmonious chemical patterns.
Here we've represented all 92 of them. At room temperature, many of them are solids, a few are gases, and two of them, bromine and mercury, are liquids. They're arranged in order of complexity. Hydrogen, the simplest element, is element number one, and uranium, the most complex, is element 92. Some elements are very familiar. For example, silicon, oxygen, magnesium, aluminum, iron, the elements that make up the Earth. Or hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, sulfur, the elements that are essential for life. Other elements are spectacularly unfamiliar. For example, hafnium, erbium, diprosium, praseodymium, elements we're not in the habit of bumping into in everyday life. By and large, the more familiar an element is, the more abundant it is. There's a great deal of iron on the Earth, not all that much yttrium. The fact that atoms are composed of only three kinds of elementary particles, protons, neutrons, and electrons, is a comparatively recent finding. The neutron was not discovered until 1932, and it, like the electron and the proton, were discovered here at Cambridge University. Modern physics and chemistry have reduced the complexity of the sensible world to an astonishing simplicity. Three units put together in different patterns make essentially everything. A neutron is electrically neutral, as its name suggests. A proton has a positive electrical charge, and an electron an equal negative electrical charge. Since every atom is electrically neutral, the number of protons in the nucleus must equal the number of electrons far away in the electron cloud. The protons and neutrons together make up the nucleus of the atom. Now, the chemistry of an atom, the nature of a chemical element, depends only on the number of electrons, which equals the number of protons, which is called the atomic number. Chemistry is just numbers, an idea which would have appealed to Pythagoras. If you're an atom and you have just one proton, you're hydrogen. Two protons, helium, three lithium, four beryllium, five protons, boron, six carbon, seven nitrogen, eight oxygen, and so on, all the way to 92 protons, in which case your name is uranium. Protons have positive electrical charges, but like charges repel each other. So why does the nucleus hold together? Why don't the electrical repulsion of the protons make the nucleus fly to pieces? Because there's another force in nature, not electricity, not gravity, the nuclear force. We can think of it as short-range hooks which start working when protons or neutrons are brought very close together. The nuclear force can overcome the electrical repulsion of the protons. Since the neutrons exert nuclear forces, but not electrical forces, they are a kind of glue which holds the atomic nucleus together. A lump of two protons and two neutrons is the nucleus of a helium atom and is very stable. Three helium nuclei stuck together by nuclear forces makes carbon. Four helium nuclei makes oxygen. There is no difference between four helium nuclei stuck together by nuclear forces and the oxygen nucleus. They're the same thing. Five helium nuclei makes neon, six makes magnesium, seven makes silicon, eight makes sulfur, and so on, increasing the atomic numbers by two and always making some familiar element. Every time we add or subtract one proton and enough neutrons to keep the nucleus together, we make a new chemical element.